98FM. Now that's what I call sport podcast.
Last weekend, I had the pleasure of spending the weekend in Carlo and IT Carlo at the FAI's coaching conference. It was a brilliant weekend with presentations from a number of the FAI senior managers and coaches and analysts and stuff like that as well. And I did sit down for an exclusive chat with the Ireland assistant manager, Terry Connor. Doesn't really do too much media, but he gave me the chance to speak to him. He took a session on the pitch and also put on a video PowerPoint presentation on Ireland's improvements in front of goal this year. And he told me all about it. Terry, 4 goals scored in 2018 for Ireland, 15 in 2019, and 15 different scorers. And you've explained to us the reasons for that and the link between your training sessions and the goals for the team, including the ones the other night. You might just expand on that for me, please.
Well, it was just something that we noticed when we watched training back and the games leading up to us taking over last December. And we watched some of our early sessions and found that we weren't getting in areas that we could improve that. At the time, we didn't know that we'd only scored 4 goals as a stat, and but we knew clearly that the players weren't getting into the right areas to try and score goals. And it was something that we worked on in the session. We showed them, we gave them some feedback on it, and instantly they made an adjustment to their game, and midfield players started to break forward, wide players started to get into areas where they could at least try and score a goal. And it's very much a team effort, you know. I was trying to explain to the boys, if you have a Robbie Keane, or you have an outstanding player who's just a goal scorer and knows where to be and score goals, then that's one thing that will help you so far. But the team also need to know that when they're crossing balls, what areas of the penalty area you'd like to hit, and in relation to that, where the players could be to make the most of it. So it's a little bit of putting things together and giving them a greater chance to score what I call team goals.
And you were able to show a video clip from training of Jeff Hendrick not getting in the box, and then the first game away to Gibraltar in that mad pitch with the aeroplanes and the wind and stuff, and he pops up on the edge of the box to score the winning goal.
Yeah, and as I say, that was something that we'd worked on in the week and we'd spoken about to Jeff individually, and I've known Jeff for over a number of years as a young player in Derby, and then making his move to Burnley, and I knew that he had that in him. I knew that he could be a goal scoring midfield player, or had been, and perhaps hadn't done that. And I don't know his full stats for the Republic of Ireland, but I think he'd only scored 1 goal previously. And we were saying to him, if you're going to improve on that, then you have to get into areas where you can make that difference. And luckily for us and for the Republic of Ireland, in that very first game, with the planes all landing and the howling gale wind and that, he managed to pop up and score a goal.
I work with under 19 players, and for me it's so satisfying to help them in training and see them do something on the pitch. At senior level, for you guys, how satisfying is it to, you know, help them in training? You've spoken about putting that team of getting players in the box all campaign, and you've showed a lot of the goals all campaign that have helped us get to a playoff. Even at senior level, is it still satisfying for you as a coach to be able to do that?
Very satisfying. I mean, this morning I was working with some of the 15s, some of the 17s, and obviously they didn't really know the session. And at the first, they were a little bit nervous first 5 minutes. But at the end of the session, they were, oh, can we do more? I want to do more. And even I could, you know, I'm sure the coaches watching could see the improvements that they were making within that 45-minute, an hour session. So it gives you, as a coach, it just gives me great satisfaction when I see players progress and do well individually, but also as a team.
And even with senior players, you've spoken about the theme of the sessions across the year is to try and get them tried to do the same things in all the matches, and in the video clips you've shown it's paid dividends. Even the other night, Matt Doherty plays a pass, it goes switches to the other side, and he's the one actually in the box to head in end of Stephen's cross, just as one example.
As I say, that's been a feature of our play, and you know, you can't stress enough the value of those team goals. It's lovely when, you know, someone can pick a ball up, beat 3 men and chip it over the keeper and score a wonderful goal, but that doesn't happen too often. So for the team to score and to be in matches and to have has chances to win matches, then as I say, you must have a structure to your attacking play, and I feel that the lads have taken that on board. And although we don't score, you know, 5, 6 and 7 every game, it's in their heads that they're going to try and get into those areas, and I think it has given us a chance to improve our forward play and certainly improve the output of the team.
And lastly, Terry, because I'm keeping you from your lunch, all systems go for March, Slovakia away in the playoffs, and then either Northern Ireland or Bosnia, but some I suppose, opportunities to plan and get ready and try and give that a good crack now in March?
For sure. You know, the lads, in many ways, you know, the disappointment of Monday of not reaching there with automatic qualification has given everyone a chance just to reassess, and the disappointment of Monday will have dissipated by the time we come round in March, and everyone will be fully focused and ready to take on Slovakia to try and get through that one, and then we'll see what we do after that.
Terry, thanks for your time. Best of luck.
Thank you very much.
So we know who Ireland will face in the playoffs and in the Euros if we get there. And we also know, Ciarán, about the Euro 2020 group of death.
Yeah, group F, who has France, Germany and Portugal. And for one of these unfortunate teams, either Iceland, Romania, Bulgaria or Hungary. I don't really know if you want to win that playoff or not.
Yeah, and England will play all of their Euros games in London, and if they get to the final, it'll be seven games in London, including semi-finals and final at Wembley, and they find out their fate as well.
Yeah, they will have to play again their 2018 nemesis Croatia and the Czech Republic, and then Serbia, Norway, Israel, or the team I want to win, Scotland, could possibly face England at Euro 2020.
You want Scotland to win?
I want them to place England. I think that'd be a great game. Imagine London, local derby. Super.
Bring it on. Now, that is the men's Euros. What about the women's? Well, the girls in green trying to make it to Euro 2021. It would be their first ever major tournament if they get there in mid-campaign now with the new manager, Vera Pauw. She also presented at the FAI's coaching conference about wanting her players to act superb.
Yeah, act superb in our qualification, and by doing that, qualifying your actions yourself, having the same knowledge that everybody has of what is excellent, what is good, what is neutral, and if you do that and that's a common knowledge with each other, then you can create real teamwork.
Yeah, I've just picked a couple of the parts you spoke about getting your players to dominate the pace of the game, even if they don't have the ball, and even if they're against a team like Germany in your group, still being able to control how the game goes from a pace point of view. You might just explain that a bit more.
Well, if an opponent is so much better than Germany, then of course they will have the attacks. But we, as a team, we can still dominate the way the play will go. So we can decide, for example, to have a very tight block, but within that block, when and how and what strategy we want the ball to go to. For example, pushing it to the side, not letting the forward pass play, and from there getting into counterattack. That's a logical thing to say. All the teams that are like less are trying to do that. But now, how do you dominate it in a way that we demand? We demand how the game goes, and then you might have a chance.
And you also spoke about that central block, the two centre-backs and the two midfielders, but also allowing your best players to be free to act.
Yeah. No, the most creative players. I'm not saying the best players.
Okay.
Because the players in the block are part of the best players. The best players are the players who can execute the task that they are there at the optimum level, at the maximum level. And the creative players need to be able to be creative. And the disciplined players need to be able to be disciplined. And often you see that the disciplined players are left alone with tasks that relate to creativity. So you don't get then the best out of the players. Or what happens a lot in the games that I've seen of them before, that the creative players had to do a lot of disciplined work. And they are still disciplined in our strategy, in our attack, but the moment that we are going to attack, they have the freedom.
You also showed a slide of an international week and explained how best to get what you need from your team and your players individually across that week, and particularly if it might be a doubleheader which you haven't had yet, trying to get enough information and work into them to make sure they're properly prepared.
Yeah, and what we've showed here, the players get that also. They know already which steps we're going to make in the week, and that is planned before. That doesn't mean that it cannot change during the week, because training sessions or the game against boys will show maybe another accent. So we are still flexible, but all the staff members and all the players know, let's say, with which path we take and what we will do when. And I think that is very important to focus on your week, and that's not just going through the motions. It's not just doing from training to training, but they see we do this training because tomorrow we need to do that.
And also, you mentioned the gym against the pitch and making sure the players aren't too fatigued, that if they do too much in the gym before going on the pitch, their legs are physically unable to do what you want them to do in training. And there is, you know, much growing trend in football of gym work and S&C, but you definitely want them to be able to peak on the pitch.
Yeah, football is a sprint sport, so you have to execute every action for 100%. And if you're fatigued, you cannot execute that action for 100%, which means you cannot learn. So my philosophy, our philosophy, is that the players need to be fresh and ready to execute 100% explosive actions. And that means that you cannot go to the gym. Now, those exercises that they do in the gym is one-dimensional. Players will feel strong, players will feel fit, but they get injured. Because I'm not going into too much detail because that is not for this program, but the moment they do football actions, they need to use their muscles in the opposite way, not one-dimensional. It needs to go everywhere, and that is what that causes all the injuries. And there is methods to do to get stronger and to get match fitter and to recover faster within football, and that's all research, and it's all open for open public. So I actually don't understand why it doesn't get to the strength and conditioning coaches.
And lastly, Vera, the campaign is going quite well. A win against Montenegro just before you took over. You beat Ukraine in your opening game and a point in Greece, a 90-minute equaliser for Greece last week in a 1-1 draw. But still all to play for heading into next year, and you're still going to try and get that second spot and try and qualify and get a playoff.
Yeah, there's nothing changed. That is the odd thing about our draw against Greece. We were very disappointed to get that draw. The only thing what we now not have is a buffer. We have to win Greece at home, we have to win Montenegro away, and then it's up to the game against Ukraine away what will happen in our group. So that didn't change. The thing is, we have to win from Greece and Montenegro now. But for playoffs, or not playoffs, or qualifying directly, it's now turned out after this round that it will not make a difference either. That even if we would have won in Greece, we would have still have to play, is that English? Have to play the playoffs.
Yeah. Vera, thanks a million. Best of luck.
Thank you so much.
That's Vera Powell, the Ireland Women's National Team Manager. And before her, Terry Connor speaking to me at the FAI's Coach Education Coaching Conference in Carlo last weekend. And we'll have more interviews coming in the next couple of weeks with the under-21 manager, Stephen Kenny, the FAI's Head of Performance Analysis, Jer Dunn, former Premier League manager, Alan Irvine, and the FAI's Coach Education Coordinator, Craig Sexton, there to come over the next couple of weeks before Christmas. We had planned to put them all in today's show, but with Joe Schmidt being in studio during the week and Jim Gavin leaving yesterday as the Dublin manager, a running order was torn up and thrown out the window. So we managed to fit Terry Connor and Vera Powell in today, and we'll have some more in the next couple of weeks before a full 60-minute or so podcast with all of those people in it, which we'll bring to you as well.
98 FMs. Now that's what I call sport. Get the full show every Sunday morning from 9, only on 98 FM.